Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, listeners. This is Patty Black, and I am back bringing the good news show to you. This week, we will start with gratitude and forgiveness. And then you will meet the fabulous Carol Sue Gershman. Listen to Carol Sue read a passage from her memoir entitled The Jewish Lady, The Black Man, and The Road Trip. This is so exciting. She is a woman full of adventure and spark for life. So stay tuned, and you will meet Carol Sue Gershman later on in the show. Now, I would like to introduce my favorite co-host, the one and only, Sherry. Are you online with us, Sherry?
Good morning, listeners. This is Sherry, and we have a great show for you this morning. I'm actually going to talk to you a little bit about the power of gratitude and a little bit about forgiveness, because we are coming up to Christmas, holiday, and New Year's, and we want to get in touch with the gratitude and about forgiveness and being able to let go of the past. Right, Patty?
Yes. Good morning, listeners. This is Patty Black, and I'm back with the Good News Show.
Yes. And with the power of gratitude, you know, we all need to hear good news. It helps us throughout our difficult times of the day and everyday life, and it gives us confidence to face the future. Gratitude unlocks the fulfillment of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos into order, confusion to clarity. It can turn a meal into a feast and a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. And gratitude makes sense for our past. It brings peace for today, and it creates a vision for tomorrow. So, you know, if we concentrate on whatever is good in every situation, we will realize that our life is filled with gratitude, and that feeling fills our soul. So, and there's a calmness to living in gratitude. It's a quiet joy. And if the only prayer that we have every day is to say thank you, it will be enough. Mm-hmm. It's starting out every morning like, thank you for this glorious day, and that each day, my best day is yet to come. If we're in that attitude of gratitude and we're in thankfulness, it's amazing how much we will get back, because our Creator, our the universe, and whoever is out there by our side helping us and watching us and guiding us and protecting us likes to be filled with gratitude, likes the thanks. So it's a great way. I've started this, I guess it was definitely 4 or 5 years ago, where I've incorporated thank you into my everyday prayers. And I make it like it's already happening. I'm thankful for the incredible work environment, my incredible relationship. I'm thankful whether I'm in it or not. It's act as if, because if you're in that attitude of gratitude, it just creates the fullness, and you get what you speak. Our words are very important in how we talk. If we're talking negative, then we're going to create negative. And I will talk a little bit about the power of attitude and living in the moment.
Well, I really like how you put that, where there's a fullness to it, Sherry, because it really does shift the way that you feel. You know, sometimes you can wake up and you don't feel good. You're in a crummy mood and you don't know why. You know, you just sometimes wake up that way. And I think that just by saying thank you it can shift it, and just really look at what you have and try to get to that place of gratefulness, because it is more fulfilling. It really can change your day. And if you can do that every day, like they say, one day at a time, you're living a fulfilled and grateful life, gratitude-full life. The tongue twister.
Yeah.
So let's hear what else you have.
Well, you know, if we're thankful for the difficult times in our life, it's hard to imagine being thankful for those times, but those are the times that we grow the most. And we can be thankful for each new challenge that comes our way, because that will build our strength and our character. And, we can be thankful for our mistakes in life. That's, you don't want to hear that. But those mistakes is what teaches us our valuable lessons. And, you know, we ask ourselves, what does gratitude mean? Well, to live in a state of gratitude is probably the greatest gift that we can receive. Whatever happens, there is gratitude. It comes to the core of all of our experiences. All of our decisions and all of our actions are filled with gratitude. I always say it's good to write down at least 10 things that we're grateful for, so that if you're, you know, you can be aligned with that flow of gratitude. If more people knew how strong an effect gratitude had on their lives, they would develop the attitude of gratitude, because it just makes you feel good. Sometimes when it's not genuine to say thank you, and you don't feel that that is you really coming from that place, well, I'm here to tell you, fake it. It takes practice to get into that grateful attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But if you keep that focus on positiveness and gratefulness, your life will turn around. And, you know, it seems that love and gratitude go hand in hand. And the more grateful we are, the more love comes into our life. And, you know, and that brings me to talk about forgiveness, because as we're coming into the Christmas holiday, we want to be able to forgive the past, forgive ourselves, let go of the past, detach with love, and be able to come into a new day and a new experience.
Well, that's just great, Sherry. So we'll be back in a few moments with you talking about forgiveness. At this time, I'd like to invite our listeners to pick up the phone, give us a call, tell us a good news story today. You can reach us at 347-324-5983. That's 347-324-5983. And if you don't have access to a phone, or if you're not listening to us live, you can send us an email at goodnewsshow@yahoo.com. That's goodnewsshow@yahoo.com. And for you iPodders out there, you can download the show through iTunes and take us on the go. Take us with you. Listen to us. If you want to learn how to do that, go to our website at www.goodnewsshow.us. That's www.goodnewsshow.us. And I'd like to remind you that you can rate the show. So while you're there, rate us. We do have a 5-star rating, and we have since February of this year when we started the show. So we'd love to have more ratings, and you can also go to the blog and visit with other listeners of our show. This is Patty Black bringing you the Good News Show live from Miami, Florida, the Magic City, and I am on air with Sherry.
Hi, everybody. Good morning, and an early Merry Christmas to everybody. With forgiveness, forgiveness is the key to freedom. So when we learn that, you know, the things that happen in our life, the past, all the things that we think are such a big deal, that we're holding on to such resentment about, well, that's just called so what. Things happen to all of us. And it's just like, forgive it. You know, get over it. You know, it's a way of detaching with love, and know that everything happens for a reason, and it's all to put us into our next level and move us on to our highest good, so we can, you know, let go of all the unhappiness, the relationship problems, the breakups, the jobs that didn't work out, the family situations that are hanging over our head. Well, life happens, and we're just in a place where if we can just let go. And the most important person that we need to forgive is ourselves, of course. So I do a thing where I get up in the morning, I look in the mirror, and who's looking back at me but myself, and I say, I forgive you, Sherry. I forgive you. I forgive myself for whatever I have done in my past that I might think I need to have a forgiveness about. And, you know, it really is a miracle. If there is somebody in your life that you have a lot of resentment about, and things are really going, you know, a lot of upset surrounding it, if you forgive the person and you say a little prayer for that person so that that person is moving on to their highest good, Well, it's amazing that it takes about 14 days of being able to forgive and send a prayer out to that person, but that feeling that you have that tightness about that person kind of lightens up and loosens up, and you're able to move on from that. So that's really nice. And the power of gratitude and the power of attitude and living in the moment, you know, that's if attitude is the only tool we have to work with on a continual basis, because every day we have to wake up with a great attitude, feeling good, feeling joy. And they say it's not what happens to you that counts. It's how you react to it that makes a difference. And we can alter changing our lives by altering our attitude. Let me say that again. We can change our lives by altering our attitude. And people pick up on our attitude. In fact, it's the first thing that people pick up on, you know, when they meet us. You never get a second chance to make that first impression. And attitude's contagious. Just like laughing is and yawning or crying is contagious, your attitude can affect people around you and vice versa. So, you know, when we have the ability to change it and we can get to actually choose what it will always be, our attitude performs exactly as it's meant to without fail. And no one can ever take it from you. So change it or create it. And you will be amazed how you can impact or influence those around you. So,
well, I really like when you said to look in the mirror and forgive yourself, because I think it's important to, when you do wake up, to connect with yourself before you connect with the world. And sometimes looking in the mirror is a very good way of doing that. You just look into your eyes, forgive yourself, smile. And just shift it in within that second, and that's a good way to start your day.
Totally.
Forgive yourself, be grateful, and say good morning to yourself before you say good morning to the world. So that's beautiful.
Right. Well, you know, this is good things to think about in the beginning of a new year, and I can't believe that it's coming so quickly that we're actually going to be in 2009. It's really amazing, and I believe that it's going to be a very exciting 2009. We've got a lot of changes coming up and a lot of exciting things to look into and to see how things are handled, the new government. It's really a great time to be able to be here and watch how the economy changes and stay in that positive mindset. Everybody else can be talking negative about the economy, but we don't have to. We can be in the attitude of gratitude and know that we have everything that we need right here and now to enjoy today. As long as we stay here in the day and in the moment, we're okay. You know.
Well, that's exactly what Bob Proctor was saying when he was on our show a few weeks ago. He said, the world, you know, the country saying we're in a recession, but that doesn't mean that you have to be in a recession. It's all in the power of thinking.
Exactly. And, you know, it's been said also that positive attitude can lead to a longer life. And if you want to live a healthier life, then this is for you. So you need to develop and maintain a positive attitude. And people who maintain a positive attitude were less likely to show signs of aging, and they're less likely to become frail, and they were more likely to be stronger and healthier than those that had a negative attitude. And if you have a doom and gloom attitude, you're just making yourself weaker. So positive thinking and positive attitude improve our health, and it helps us live longer, and we're also more likely to become more successful. So when we're thinking problems, we're only attracting more problems. And when we're thinking solutions, we attract solutions and opportunities. And what we have to do is approach problems or challenges, as I like to call them, with the attitude that there is a solution waiting to be found. And then just let go of it. Walk away, let go, and let the universe, let God take it from there. And it's amazing that what happens when you can do that, because as I've seen in my life, the more that I'm able to give it up, let go, and step out of the way and, like, wear each day like a loose garment. And, you know, the other thing is sit on the back of the bike and let, you know, your higher power, let your the universe, whatever you like to call, the God, as I like to call, my higher power is God, and just let that go and let God take over. And miracles, I'm saying miracles happen. And if you want to be in a really great place of watching the miracles happen, try that. Let me know what you think. I really would like to hear your comments. If you want to get in touch with Patty Black or Sherry Friedman, we're also on Facebook, and you can look at us there, and you can get an idea of who we are, get a look at some of our pictures, and please introduce yourself and let us know that you're watching and listening for us, and we really appreciate everything that everybody has been doing with us. I do want to take a few moments also to talk to you a little bit about a little ad, a little self-advertising that I'm going to talk to you about. We both are, along with our radio show, we both have incredible jobs, and Patty is in the market of selling precious metals, and that seems to be really a great place to be right now.
Oh, yeah, selling gold and silver. That's where people are investing now.
They're investing and having a good time with it.
And it's part of their portfolio that's actually making money.
It is.
That's the only thing that's going up these days. No, I'm really glad I can help people with that. But you also have a very good product that you work with, so let's hear about it because I know it's great.
I'm in the hair and makeup business, and I'm in the business to make people look beautiful and be able to create and reinvent themselves. So one of my great things that I do is I'm into working with a greener and healthier product for hair color. And that's one of my biggest things because a lot of people don't have the time that they used to sit in the hair salon and get color done, and it took hours. And I have a product that takes 15 minutes under the dryer with no chemicals, no ammonia, no harsh peroxide. It's all natural. And so it's amazing, you know, when people can come in and in 15 minutes have highlights and their blades are all covered and they've got a beautiful, shiny, healthy hair. So that's my claim to fame is having a healthy hair color that takes only 15 minutes and has no harsh chemicals.
And Sherry, do you specialize in, are you a color specialist? Is that what they call
it? I am a color specialist. I do a lot of reconstructing, and I do a lot of work with helping people that have had bad hair color. I can, you know, help them out of those situations and redo bad hair color. So I'm a chemist, I'm a colorist, I'm a hair cutter, but I love to specialize in hair color because that makes people really happy when they can go out with, you know, change their hair texture from really harsh, frizzy, dry hair, and they can walk out like with a new head of hair. So it's been great. I work in a very big salon in Miami, and my number is 305-607-3176 for any of you that are here living in Miami and would like to experience and have a consultation with Sherry. Please give me a call, 305-607-3176.
You know, it's interesting, I just learned not long ago, is that people are actually, they're getting their hair cut by one person, but they're looking for a specialist to do their hair color. You know, some people get used to having somebody cut their hair. That person's not necessarily a hair colorist. And so they're going to two people. And I found that interesting because I've always gotten my hair done by one person, and of course that person's you. So
right.
I'm very happy with that. But I think that's great that you do offer that. So even if you listeners out there, if you have somebody who cuts your hair and you're enjoying your style, you can also consult with Sherry for your color. And by using an all natural product, it's a healthier way to go. So I think that's great, Sherry.
Yeah. Thank you.
Why don't you give our listeners your number one more time, and then we're going to bring our guest in. I see our guest.
All right. That's 305-607-3176. And definitely mention that you've heard us on the Good News Show, and I'll be happy to give you special attention, special deal, special treatment, and all the things that go along with it.
Well, you can't beat that, because you are a pro at what you do, and I think that's a great offering you've just made. This morning, we have a wonderful guest. She is an author. Her name is Carol Sue Gershman, and I'm going to bring her in online.
It's a book of her memoirs, and it's called The Black Man, The Jewish Lady, and The Road Trip. So let's hear from Carol Sue.
Good morning. Welcome to the Good News Show.
Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. I just might say that the book is actually called The Jewish Lady, The Black Man, and The Road Trip. It used to be called The Black Man, The Jewish Lady, and The Road Trip.
Oh, my gosh. We must
but
have
I
an older book.
Then I have the other front copy.
First version.
Oh. Well, that's true. It did go through a second edition. And we did change it to The Jewish Lady first. So I just
okay. Well, whatever it's called, it is fabulous. I want to say that. I have been reading it. I have never gotten so attached from the first page on to a book ever. And I can't put it down. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I live agelessly. That is my most important message.
You live, speak a little louder.
I will. I live agelessly.
Agelessly, okay.
Age has never entered into the factor of how I live my life. I've never recognized myself as being 50, being 60, being 40, being 70. I've always thought with a young spirit, no matter what age that I'm at. And luckily, I have a mom, or I had a wonderful mom, that had that spirit. She kind of never grew up, even though she was so intelligent. And maybe I sort of take after her and in some ways just stay within my spirit, which sometimes is going way back there to high school in some of the things that I might do.
Mm-hmm.
I dress with a flair, and I seek that second look in how I dress. And as you know, I am 73 years old, and it sometimes amazes me that I get that second look. I keep jewelry at a minimum. I always thought it distracted from me, but I must admit that I love hats. And
hats are wonderful.
Oh, they are. They are. They give me that feeling. The other night I went out, I had a wonderful date, actually, and met a new man, and we ended up at a disco, something I haven't done in many years. But they advertised it as back to Studio 54. And back in those days, I used to love to go to Studio 54. I'm from New York City, and Nell's Club. It was a real treat. And when I saw that advertisement for this weekend, it was down at Caro and Y, I believe is the name of it, in Miami, I said, you know, I'm going to go. And with this new date, we went, and I dressed sort of in, I had on sort of a long goldish kind of dress. It was with a black top, and it was nice to look at. But when we got to the disco, I decided I'm going to change my look to go in. So I put on great big earrings, even though I told you that I keep jewelry at the minimum. But tonight I wore those. That night I wore those big gold earrings and a wonderful big high gold hat and long gold gloves, and I completely changed my look. And he looked at me and he said, wow, how interesting. You look different.
You reinvent yourself at a moment's notice.
Well, that's a good way of saying it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Well, could you tell us and our listeners what inspired you to write your book, The Jewish Lady, The Black Man, and The Road Trip?
Absolutely. My man walked out on me, and I wanted to get him back. Writing was my way of staying in touch with him. Writing was my way of channeling all of my negative energy and pain. And my dream was to finish the book, surprise him with it, because I wasn't seeing him at that particular time. And we would read it together, we would laugh, we would cry, and realize our mistakes and go right back together again. Obsession, I might say, has been my driving force since I'm 14 years old. And I found that at 70, in my 70s, it wasn't one single bit different. And that is totally what inspired me to write the book. I was deep filled with passion, and I took all of that passion and put it onto pen and paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I might add that I went to a class. That's what started me on this. I saw a little ad about a memoir class and not realizing what I would ever write about. I went to that class, and I brought with me a 2.5-page story that I had written when I got back from our trip. And I took those 2.5 pages. And unbeknown to me, I turned it into 325 pages of this book, my memoir.
Wow.
That's
did you
beautiful.
Ever think before this that you had any ability to write? Did you used to write like little stories or little poems before?
The most that I wrote was did enjoy whenever I travel extensively, and when I would come back from a trip, I would always write about it. And I would send it to my friends and my family, but it never exceeded more than 2 to 3 pages. That was the most that I would keep my notes along the way and then put it all together. My trick was that I would put that all together the night before I left the country that I was in, so that by the time I got home, people would already have it in their hand and know what I did, so that I didn't have to keep telling the same story over and over and over again. And that was sort of my reason to write my little travelogues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's great, because that is definitely one thing that you and I have in common, is a love for travel to faraway and exotic places.
Oh, where do you like to go?
Well, I have had some great trips to Thailand and Egypt and Turkey. I'm always, like planning something really big each year. And, just to see how people live in other countries. And we just went on a trip to Mexico, and actually that's something that we did on that trip, is being able to write about each day. So you don't have to, talk about it to everybody, and it's already written down. But that was, even in Mexico, it was great to be able to come home from Mexico and be so happy with the life that we have here.
Yes, it makes us
the way they live there.
Mm-hmm. It shows you.
It makes us
appreciate
home.
What you have.
Yeah. I know. I really laughed when I was reading in your book about different bathroom experiences that you had all over.
Oh,
and
my God.
Some of the funny bathroom experiences that I've had, having to go in a little hole in the floor, and our last one was so funny that we were in an outhouse somewhere, and you had to dig a big pail of water into water just to put it into the toilet and have that. I mean, it was just amazing. We were just like, we have pictures of all from step one to step three of how that looks. But there's nothing like it to be able to go away and come back and have those experiences, and to be able to live like you live and enjoy the moment, enjoy each day. And that's what we talk a lot about in just being able to enjoy the moment. You want to go into a little bit more about that?
Enjoying the moment?
Yes.
Of our lives? Is that what you're
living
saying?
Living life to the fullest, enjoying the moment, living our life large, which is what we had a series on, and I believe that that's what you do. You live your life large, no matter what.
I do live my life large. I'm not satisfied with, as soon as it dulls down, and it does, I find that I must reinvent myself in some way and get out there and do something new, whether it's connecting online, starting to date again, whether it's planning a trip, whether it's seeking out a new friend, or writing, or so many different things that come up each day. But there's a lot of friends that I have, and that's what I notice, that my contemporaries do not look or act the way that I do. They're happy. They say, well, look, I'm this age, and it's time that I sit back and I relax and I retire and I just do nothing if I want to. And I like to do nothing, too. I mean, that's kind of fun as well. But I do think more out of the box. I'm very curious about life. I'm very curious about living it. And I still think there are endless, endless new roads ahead of me. And there are.
Mm-hmm.
I like to travel solo for extended periods of time. And those are some of the things that keep me going every single day of my life. Now, as I said, my friends, a lot of them that I love dearly, don't think like that. They're happy to go out and meet their friends for lunch and go home and watch television if they're not married. And they're satisfied. They're satisfied that they've reached their age of 70 or whatever their age might be, 65 to 75, or some of my older friends that I very, very close to and very much in touch with. And I just am amazed that they can be so satisfied to accept their lives as they are and not seek any new adventures. Sometimes I'm jealous. Sometimes I'm jealous of them that they can be that accepting of doing nothing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I bet they look at you like, well, she has such an exciting life, she never stops.
Well, they do. They do.
They
must
live vicariously through you.
What did you say?
They must live vicariously through you and your adventures.
You're right. Mm-hmm. They do. And I say to them, well, my goodness, you could do the exact same thing that I'm doing. You don't have to sit home and think that it's all over for you and that you don't really have much of a changed future ahead of you. And they go, oh, Carrie, I can't do the things that you do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, of course, they can. They just don't have the spirit.
They everybody has the possibility of doing that. It's all a matter of the frame of. Now, you wrote a book later in life. How was that? Discuss the experience of the personal growth from publishing your book at a later point in your life.
Well, isn't it amazing that all of a sudden, from out of the blue, based on passion, that I was able to find something inside of me that was dormant. I have become a writer. And the beautiful thing about it is that I'm getting rave reviews, not only from my friends and family who have supported me tremendously, but from top reviewers. They're all on Amazon.com if anybody wants to go look at all my reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very proud that not only have I written a book later in life, as I was told, they can't even get students to sit down and write a term paper, and here I've written 325 pages of adventure and excitement and passion and inspiration to women of all ages.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it has been a wonderful awakening, and I must say to you, Sarah, I have a whole new life. This is what I do now.
Now, have you thought about your next book yet, or you haven't thought about that?
No, I think about it. But the marketing of this book, I do think about it, and I basically know what I'm going to write about. I write notes whenever I think, but I'm not focused on it quite yet because I'm trying very hard to market this book, and that's difficult because I am an unknown writer. I'm going out into so many different directions, enticing people to not only carry my book in the stores, but book talks and radio, television. I have aspirations for myself. I don't think I'm going to be satisfied until I see it on the big screen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I understand you also gave a book talk on a cruise.
Oh, I did. I was asked to speak on Carnival Cruise. It was for a closed group at the time. By that, I mean a couple of hundred people that were part of this group. And they asked me to speak. I was kind of nervous because it was my first big talk. So what I did was I enrolled in Toastmasters. Do you know about it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Toastmasters.
Great thing to do.
It really is, because everybody wants to learn, and they truly listen, and, oh, they're very, very critical, much more so than anybody that was in the audience on Carnival Cruise. But that is how I prepared myself to speak and give myself confidence, because public speaking is not something that I know well or have done before. And the day came, oh, my God, I went to bed early. I left the whole group that night. I didn't want to stay out late because my talk was at 10:30 in the morning. And I got all dressed up. I had to wear something appropriate for 10 o'clock. So I wore black and white zebra tights with a long with a long black white linen shirt over it. You know, so it wasn't all tights. They were the tights showed from the knee down.
Mm-hmm.
And I wore a white turban, which looked quite interesting. And I spoke, and it was wonderful. And I think the greatest part is that practically everybody in the audience bought a book, and I've once again got good feedback on it. And now Carnival Cruise itself, not just a group within Carnival, but Carnival itself, heard about it. They've never given book talks as part of their program, and I'm working with them now to speak through Carnival on a cruise in February, and that means that it will go out to, you know, all of the ship people on the daily thing that they give out every day. I'm quite excited about that.
Mm-hmm. That's very exciting to see how more doors are opening up for you. Carol, Sue, are you prepared to give us a short reading from your book?
Yes, I certainly can.
You have something prepared?
I
know. Well, we would love to hear it. We have about 12 minutes left, so we'd like for you to do that.
Yeah,
It goes so fast, doesn't it?
Amazing.
We still want to have some time after you give us the reading for you to give contact information, so keep that in mind.
I connected with this wonderful, stunning black man. And we dated every single week, but we didn't see that much of each other during the week. It would be on the weekends. And I had seen him for about 6 months at this point. And now I'm going to read from my book. When I saw Xavier, his name, the following Saturday, I told him I was thinking of driving north in July to visit my family and friends, as I had just gotten this hot yellow Mustang convertible, a gift for my son. He said, "I'd like to join you." I was totally surprised. I wondered if a long trip, spending all day and night with each other, would destroy us. never thinking that my leaving without him might destroy us. Why change a good thing? So I figured out an escape route just in case we did go. There were lots of airports along the way, and if things got tough, I would drop him off at one of them. That's all there was to it, my way or the flyway. In an emergency, a bus station would do, and I felt so relieved knowing there would be an out. I decided to accept that things were really working out well between us. He allowed my independence to flourish. He continuously went along with everything I wanted, and it was a blessing. He was perfection. I respected him, often telling him he was the smartest man I ever knew. He never upset me, was never late. He enjoyed our relationship, giving me free rein. It was gratifying not to have to argue or fight for what I thought was right. He was eager to go along, and yet I would not cross the line, always considering what I thought would make him happy. I knew he was easygoing, but not easy, so I was careful not to take advantage of him. Bad habits escaped him. He didn't snore when he dozed off or have any of those terrible things that turn women off, like terrible breath or... He was respectful towards me, a gentleman. He liked listening to what I had to say, never tiring of my stories. And I loved his candid opinions. On top of this, he was spotless and fantastic to look at, always a showstopper, dressed to perfection with his little velvet slippers in black and red. Women of all ages would stare at him as we passed by arm in arm. Once he looked at one of his admirers and said, "Now you stop checking me out," and they would laugh knowing they were caught in the act. He wanted to be in love, and while he thought he might be, I didn't think he really did love me. It was the image he had of me, a beautiful, seductive, classy white woman with enough Bayonne, New Jersey in her to bring him to his own comfort zone. Even in the year 205, though, I felt apprehension when I introduced him to my friends, wondering about their reaction, what they might think of me being with a black man. I was truly proud of him, but something inside of me always seemed to hope for my friend's approval. We considered ourselves to be an exciting couple. We could light up any room, and we did, black and white, silver gray and blonde, arty and sophisticated, both with big smiles. We were an eye-catching pair who brought the best out in each other. Xavier did not care much about our itinerary. Thinking about the trip, I knew I needed to take a chance by exposing myself to him every day, rather than each of us going to our own places after several hours on a date. If I was going to do this, I needed to learn how to share, learn to give, learn to compromise. Why go alone when I had this divine man wanting to join me? When was the last time I had such an offer? One night, before we completely decided to take the road trip, Xavier leaned over to me, and with his sexy crossed legs, he said, "I'm only going to be driving Miss Daisy. And if I ain't driving Miss Daisy, I'll be riding Miss Daisy."
Yeah.
That did it for me. I was ready to travel with this adorable charmer, ready to take the chance that he'd see me tired, without makeup, grumpy, and all kinds of outfits that he might not like. I burst out laughing and hugged him, suddenly ecstatic about him coming. We agreed on how we would finance the trip. We would split all of our costs. He would be in charge of music. I would be in charge of everything else it took to be on the road. I realized I had nothing to lose. We were nervous, apprehensive, and excited. We set the date to leave, June 29th, 2005.
That's beautiful. And after we finish the show, I'm going up to read a couple more chapters in my book.
Thank you.
I love the book. I love Xavier. I love the whole experience that you've had.
You are a fabulous writer, Carol Sue. And, you know, while you were reading that, I had a thought of how did your family respond to this? How did you approach your family with the fact that you were with them?
Well, they loved that I was writing, but they, when I told one of my girlfriends that I was writing about all of our sexual escapades, she said, "You mean you're going to put that in writing?" I said, "Well, yes." She said, "How could you do that? You're a mother. You're a grandmother. What are your children going to think of you?" And it scared me, and I went right to a therapist. And had he said, "Well, your friend is right," I would have not put in all of our sexy escapades, and I must tell you there's plenty of them in the book. So you, so now, by now you know the answer, that the therapist said to me, "Carol Sue, this is your story. This is your life. And if you want to write about it, you just go right ahead. You're not writing anything about somebody else or slandering them. You're telling your story. And if it's the passion you want to talk about it." So I crossed, after I wrote the book and included everything, I crossed off all the naughty parts for my kids. And as my grandkids get older, well, maybe they'll learn a thing or two about what old grandma was really about.
Oh, that's wonderful. Gosh, well, we have 4 minutes left. So at this point, could you give your contact information so people know how they can learn more about you? And
I would love to do that. I'll start with my website. It's www.jewishladyblackman.com. My book is on Amazon.com. It's in BarnesandNoble.com. All of my reviews are there. And when you visit my website, you can order directly from me, and I'd be happy to send you a signed copy. Of course, I can't do that through the stores. And if anybody is listening that is down in South Miami, at I believe it's the Sunset on Sunset stores on 57th Street, this Barnes & Noble store does have my book, and it is in stock. And many, many more bookstores will start to carry it, but not yet.
Okay. So if they go to the Barnes & Noble online or Amazon.com, they can purchase the book and they can also read reviews about you?
Oh, absolutely. It's all posted there, and they can also read some of my blogs.
And how do they get to the book? Through the title of the book?
Yes, the title of the book, as I said, Jewish Lady, Black Man, and the Road Trip. Or they could type in my name, Carol Sue Gershman, with spaces, Carol, space, Sue, space, Gershman.
Gershman,
G-E-R-S-H-M-A-N.
M-A-N, perfect.
Yes, yes.
Well, that's great. And I have to tell you that at some point the three of us are going to get together, and I just thought of what we're going to do.
Ooh.
Going out for ice cream cones.
What's that?
We're going out for ice cream cones.
Oh, my God. Of course. I love ice cream cones.
No, and it's one of my favorite things to do.
Organic.
Do you like Tasty Delight?
Well, I've moved on to some different things from that point, but we'll talk about it.
Oh, okay.
Ladies, we're thinking of ice cream at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, anytime.
This is fun. Carol Sue, it's been an honor having you on our show, and we have thoroughly enjoyed your company with us this morning. We're enjoying your book, and we want to thank you for presenting it to our listeners today.
It was lovely of you to have me. I've enjoyed it, too, and thank you so very much.
Thank you, and you have a great holiday.
You, too. Merry, Merry Christmas.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, listeners, that was Carol Sue Gershman, the author of The Jewish Lady, The Black Man, and The Road Trip. We suggest that you pick the book up because it's full of adventure and excitement, and it just leaves you feeling happy, and it can really add to your... So we invite you to get the book and learn more about what she's doing.
And it's great Christmas presents. So go out and get somebody a great book for Christmas.
Christmas,
a great thing
and
to do.
Holidays, and that's great. So we will look forward to having you on our show next week. And we appreciate your loyalty. This is Patty Black with the Good News Show from Miami, Florida, saying goodbye and happy holidays.
And Sherry, goodbye, everybody. Happy holidays.
All right.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.